Say What Podcast is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard.
You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios,
speak and be heard.
This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communication experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and a wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468.
Hey, it's Janessa.
And I'm Katie.
And this is
Say What?
All right, guys, we are back and Katie's back.
Hey.
We got some good stuff to talk about. The kids are back in school, so we're just going to kind of jump into that.
Dive right in.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about having a senior?
I had a freaking meltdown yesterday, and for some reason I felt like, hey, while I have zero makeup and my hair is just completely ratchet, swollen, I'm in my robe, no bra, definitely can see a lot of cleavage. I mean,
let's be honest, it's really hard to cover those things so anyways. So.
I don't know why I felt compelled to do a video of myself and post it on social media, like with so many tears running down my face, and just ask if this is normal that you should feel this way when you send your senior off to school. I mean, as soon as I took my back to school photos of them, I lost it. I absolutely lost it. I did this when Brody went to, and Brody's my firstborn, when he went to kindergarten.
Yeah.
They had a thing called tea and tissues for the moms, right? Because, moms would just, lose it. And so for this, I was like, okay, I feel like there needs to be like a tea and tissues for the moms sending off their seniors, because it feels like it's a death of their childhood. Like, this is the last first day photo, right, that you're going to take. And it was just overwhelming. And it felt really sad. And look, yes, so excited for him, right? Of course, I feel that way. But I'm also just like, holy crap, where did all the time go? You don't get that childhood back, mm-hmm. right? Like, each stage feels like there's a death. The infant stage, when that's done, you're like, it's never coming back. And yet, still to this day, he's 17 years old, and I can remember how certain clothes felt and looked. I remember what he smelled like, right? I remember the dimples in his hands. All those things I remember so vividly, and that makes it feel like it really did just go by in a blink. Everybody says, don't blink, because it goes by so fast, and it does. It's just like, it's the worst.
Well, and it's like when you're in the moment, I think that people don't realize that, you're in the moment and people say that to you. You're like, okay, whatever, I get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but I get it. Just stop.
Yeah.
But then you look back and you're like, oh my God, what happened?
Yeah. How did this happen?
Yeah.
Now, I remember telling myself with Shelby, our second, that every time I was looking at her thinking, oh my gosh, she's getting so big, and I can't wait until she does this, I mentally stopped myself. And instead of saying, oh my gosh, she's getting so big, I would say to myself, she will never be this small ever again. And so that was my way of trying to embrace the moment of her being small.
Yeah.
It's just, it's hard. So yeah, I had a total meltdown yesterday. Did not stop crying. Like I was trying to work and then that just it didn't pan out. I was an absolute wreck. Could not get it together. Today I'm fine. I had to feel it. Yeah. You know, and but again, with kindergarten, when that happened with Brody, I had to take a day off work. I looked at all of his baby pictures. I was a total mess. And then when Shelby started kindergarten, it's not that I didn't love her. I went to work. I was totally fine. But I think your first one, it's your first time being in this place. And it's sad, but I think once you realize like they're gonna be okay, this is fine, this is normal, once you've accepted that as a mom, I think the next one is just easier. It's not that you don't love them less.
Well, and I think too, like, you were a baby when you had him. Yeah. Like, you were a baby having a baby, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we grew up together. Yeah. I don't feel old enough to have a senior, and you know, other people my age that have babies or young ones, you feel like it doesn't feel natural that I should be having, you know, a senior right now. Yeah. And I think that makes it harder because you do feel a little bit more alone in it in your stage of life. It's just hard to wrap your mind around because when they're little, you're going, oh, I've got a whole 18 years and just it seems like such a long time. And then all of a sudden, it's almost gone.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy crap, that did not go the way I thought it was going to go. So if you have littles, just hold them a little tighter. You know, maybe don't lose your shit as much.
That's impossible. <I know. laughs> Well, I think too, I mean, having boys and girls and Gianna being a girl and the oldest.
Yeah.
I have a different connection with both of them. It's not that I love one more than the other, but I think if I try to analyze it, I feel like I know my girls will always be there.
Right.
But your son, it's almost like you have to disconnect because he will have his own family, but girls always stay with their families.
I heard a comedian talk about this, right? Because she was so close with her son and she was so sad when he got, you know, he was getting married and she's like, I'm just so upset because you're going to leave me and start your own family. He's like, Mom, it's biblical. I'm supposed to leave you. And she's like, damn it. Why did I show you the Bible? Like, but it is, it's true. Like, yeah. You're not going to be the only woman, right, in his life. And somebody is going to trump you in your placement of importance to them, and you just hope to God that you like her. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm worried about because I'm so protective. And every time he's shown me a female, right? I'm like, no, nope. She's got daddy issues.
Yeah.
She has other family issues. She's an attention whore. Uh-huh. She has, you know, insecurity issues. She's a liar. I really don't like how she's posting herself on social media. She has no friends and she's a class 5 clinger. I mean, there's so many things. And he's like, Mom, nobody's going to be good enough. I'm like, that's not true. Mm-hmm. I just want you to have really high standards.
Yeah.
You know, it's not impossible and nobody's going to be perfect, but can we just like up the game a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with having that standards though.
I know. But I'm going to be like that with Shelby.
Yeah.
Too. Eric thinks I'm hard with the whole female thing with Brody, but I'm like, oh my God, you just wait. You wait until you have a bunch of guys coming after our daughter, and yeah. I'm going to be the one like, oh, it's fine. You're going to be like, where's the shotgun?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that that's kind of a normal thing. I think moms with their sons, they have a certain relationship and then like more protective. Mm-hmm. And then I think moms with daughters, we're just like, we get you, right? Like, I understand you're going to feel this way and, yeah. You know, I'm here for you. I just feel like it's a different thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to be the mean one and everything's Alan's because he's loud and like, you know, in your face.
I can't see you being mean at all.
Really?
No. Have you ever raised your voice at your children?
Is that a real question?
Yeah.
Hell yes, I have.
I haven't heard it.
It takes a lot for me to yell because I do not like yelling.
Yeah.
It's like nails on a chalkboard to me. I have this conversation. And of course, my husband's loud and he fucking yells all the time. So, but it makes me turn off.
Yeah.
So if someone's yelling, I'll completely just block you out.
Yeah.
But I absolutely will yell. But I usually give them warning like, okay, mom's going to lose it in about 3 seconds. So I'm going to start counting down. I'm just going to give you a heads up. And then shit's going to hit the fan.
Yeah.
That's just what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And Gianna's like, oh, Aston, stop doing that.
Careful, yeah. She's going to blow.
He freaks out if I yell. As a matter of fact, I did some psycho mom shit the other day.
Ooh, I want to hear this.
He does not listen, right? He's 4 and I get it, but the dogs had walked in mud and then walked in the house. So I'm cleaning the floor and I was like, can you please... just take your little basketball. We have 2 of the same ones that I think he won somewhere. Take it upstairs. Please get off the floor. Go upstairs. And he continues to bounce the basketball. And I was like, okay, buddy, I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm asking you nicely to go upstairs or that ball is going bye-bye.
Yeah.
And he just is like, okay, mom. So he goes upstairs, bounces it on the stairs and bounces it on the stairs so that it bounces down onto the floor. And then he smiles. He looks at me.
God.
And smiles.
He has that smile that you can't get mad at. That's the problem.
Oh, I did. Well, I did. I go, all right, that's it. So I grabbed the ball, took a knife, pop. Gianna was standing in the kitchen. She's like, holy shit, did this just happen? And
I will cut
it.
A bitch. Whack.
He lost it. Oh, and I felt like
mom doesn't play around.
Wow. I'm glad that wasn't on camera. But I'm like, okay, I gave you 3 fucking opportunities. You're not listening, so you have to learn.
No, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
But I did that and I was like, all right, that was a little bit psycho. So maybe I won't take it to that next level.
Look, I have said several times to the kids throughout the years, I can either save for college or save for your therapy.
Yeah.
You'd need the money for both, but you get one of those choices because, you know, I've never done this before. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Especially with the first one, you're like, I'm just making this up as I go.
That sounds good.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, the things that I have said... especially when they were younger, right? And I was young and I had 0 patience. 0. And I was not
because
super...
you were working a ton.
Yes. And I was not super like, I wasn't overly nice. I mean, I was like black and white. Like, okay, I'm going to be fun. Now this is business time, right? And so it would be something like bedtime. Brody wouldn't go to sleep. And so I would always give the warning, whatever it was, just like you're talking about. And I had to follow up all the consequences. But there were some of them where, you know, when you're making it up as you go.
God.
And I remember I got so mad at him and for not going to sleep. And I was exhausted. Mama needed her wine. It's time for you to get out of my face. Like, I need a moment or I'm going to lose my shit. And so he got up for like the 10th time, something like that. I don't know. And so I marched him downstairs. We were in a townhouse. I had like, you know, 800 stairs. Marched him downstairs. It's the dead of night. It's cold. It's October in Washington. Go out there. He has no socks on or anything like that. And I'm like, if you get out of your bed one more time, I'm making you sleep out here with all the scary spiders. It's freezing. You will not have a blanket or a pillow. Do you understand? And he's like, I'm so sorry. I closed the door for like 2 minutes, right? And he was just terrified. And I opened the door. I'm like, do you understand? He's like, yes.
So I'm going to go to bed right now.
He did not ever get out of his bed. Like, he knew it was bedtime when I said, like, you're not getting out of the bed, are you? He's like, nope, nope, I'm staying in. I did that, like, when we drive places, right? Mm-hmm. If him and Shelby were having an argument, right? Like, don't look at me, don't touch me, don't breathe near me, all that stuff. Pull the car over. I will get you guys out of the car and I will leave. Do not test me. Pull the car over. You know, they're like, Mom, no. I open up the door. I'm leaving. I don't need you. You can yep, stay here. Yep.
I mean, these conversations things. Sound so familiar.
I don't need children. I could leave you here. No problem. Mom, you wouldn't do that. Yeah, I would. I'm over it.
Gianna will be, Mom, well, why don't you just trade us in for other kids? I'm like, no, because you're my child. And yeah. I'm not saying I don't love you. I'm saying, please listen to what I'm saying or there will be consequences. Everything always turns into like an emotional roller coaster. Yes. There, but and that goes for like, I told you to put your socks on.
Yeah.
Three times. Well, you, why don't you get other kids? I'm like, okay. You know, I mean.
Technically, I can.
Put your fucking socks on. I'm not saying I need other kids. I want to get out of the house. That's what I'm saying. Oh, my God.
At least you're
God.
Nice enough not to say, like, you know what? You're right. I do want to have another child. That's probably how I would be in my early 20s because I was just awful. But my children listened.
Yeah.
Right? I think Brody, I spanked him maybe 5 times. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Shelby, I lost count. She was just so unruly. And she, like, you had to just, she had to learn her lesson 100 times over where Brody was like, shit, okay, good, I'm good, yeah. I'm good, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. She was just like, okay, yeah, let's see if you still got it, you know, or the one in public where she definitely would try to do certain things in public to see if you would react.
Oh, my
and
God.
For sure, I made it very clear that I don't care who's looking. I will beat your ass in front of everybody else.
Yeah.
I remember leaving a whole cart of groceries. And, you know, at that time it was just, you had no time on your hands to go grocery shopping. And so that was like a big thing for me. And I had to take her. And take her outside, left everything in the grocery store. And, you know, I had to spank her in front of people looking like at me as if I was awful.
Yeah. I would be like, hell yeah, girl.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to be a brat.
Yeah.
You know, you think that just because we're around other people that you're not going to be disciplined.
Right.
Sweetheart.
You're mistakenly wrong.
You are the child of mine. Yeah. Remember, we're going to fight fire with fire. So, we got on a tangent. Sorry.
We did. That's what we do. That's just what we do.
We just got to go.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about back to school stuff. Okay. So I want to hear. So Gianna didn't go to in-person school last year. And so she gets to this year because of the opt-out mask deal. Yeah. And so I want to hear like how her first day went because that was a big freaking deal.
Yeah. So she was so excited. Even the day before school started, that was the meet and greet with your teacher. And she, I had to go to work and then I came back and picked her up and she's like, Mom, I was so excited all night. Like I couldn't even sleep. I just like was sitting there and like twiddling my fingers thinking like all the people I'm going to see, what am I going to wear? I'm so excited for my desk. You know, all the things like when you're a kid that you get so excited to go back.
Had
to
her outfit laid out and everything. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So we go to the meet and greet. Her teacher's really nice. It was interesting because the teachers have an opt out. They can opt out to for the mask.
Oh.
They didn't know that this day. They had found out later on the next day.
Gotcha.
But we walked in and she was like, oh, hi. And she takes her mask off. She's like, I just want you to be able to see my face. Which awesome. I was like, that's really nice, but just take your fucking mask off or whatever. She's really nice though. Super sweet. So Gianna finds her little desk and then, talks to some kids in the class and we go outside and she's playing on the playground and then we leave. And she was like, Mom, So there is a little boy, and he was from my third grade class, and he saw you and he walked by you and he's giving this like really weird look. And I was like, okay, so how did that make you feel? And she just said, well, it just makes me really frustrated. So I was telling you kind of this before, but there was a little kid when we were school shopping that at the store had taken a picture of me when I wasn't looking.
I still can't, like, it was so awkward. Like, did you see what I saw? Did he just take a picture of me?
I didn't see him. Gianna saw him and she runs over. She's like, mommy, that little boy took a picture of you.
How old do you think?
He looked like he was probably 9 or 10, maybe her age. And I was like, oh, okay, what little boy? You know, my eyes go up like a crazy woman.
What?
And it doesn't bother me, but I also kids need to know like their place.
Right.
Like, that's not appropriate. Yeah. Don't do that to someone else because you might hurt. What if you do that to a kid your age?
Yeah.
It's just not appropriate.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, what are you going to say to him? And I go, well, I'm not going to say anything to him. Am I going to embarrass you if I say something?
Right.
And she was like, well, I don't know, but like, it makes me really mad. And I go, okay. So that was one instance where I saw that kid. I found him and then I just stared at him and I think he shit his pants when I was staring at him. I just was folding shirts,
you look.
Staring at him and he's like, oh my God. But that was like one incident, right?
Yeah.
So, and we're never going to see these kids again. So I told Gianna, that kind of stuff is going to happen. I look different. You just need to understand that. It doesn't bother mommy, blah, blah, blah. So then this happens at school. And really, truly, I have, since I lost my hair, I just didn't really think about like how it would impact my kids.
Right.
I just didn't. So, we started talking and she said it made her frustrated. And I was like, well, what would you say to that kid? And I can't even remember verbatim what she said, but it was something like, well, if you think my mom's weird, then that's your problem or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well.
That's good.
Yeah, definitely fine. But you need to let him, you need to turn it around on him because when people do things like that, it's their own insecurity. So we need to just kind of bring that to light.
Right.
And just say something along the lines of like, if my mom isn't bothered by having no hair, then why would something like that bother you?
Right.
Because they don't know that, you know, like, why does, she looks weird. Okay, well, she might look weird to you, but she doesn't feel weird. So that's your own, you know, that's your own issue to deal with.
Right. And like I was saying in the car right over here, through the mouths of babes, they will truly say whatever they are thinking. And sometimes they don't even realize how it's coming out and how truly rude it is. Or, my God, some of the things kids say that are like so racist and they don't know that how it's coming out is racist. Like one of the one of our family stories is just like, I felt so bad for my dad. He was so mortified. But because he also didn't do a very good job of explaining like people's color difference in color. But I guess when my brothers were younger, I'm the youngest, but my dad took them. This was when they were in California. My middle brother was probably like kindergarten, something like that. They went to go see a movie. And I guess in the area that they lived at was predominantly white. And so this family comes in and all of a sudden my brother, very loud, the whole family's coming in to sit down, you know, in the theater seats. And he's like, Dad, there's black people. And my dad's like, oh, shut up. And he's like, no, Dad, it's a whole family. And then he starts counting. One, two. And my dad is just like, he's over the seat on him, putting his hand over his mouth, right? And of course, the dad of the family walking in was giving my father the look like, you better shut your child up or I'm going to shut him up for you. Oh my God. He was just mortified. And then when they got home, my dad had this whole talk, right, with all of us about how people have different skin colors. And I was like really little. I was probably like 3 or 4. And I guess I was like, so are there purple people, you know? And he's like, yeah. So for probably like 2 years, I was walking around like hoping I would see like pink and purple people. He would do a very good job. But I mean, again, through the mouths of babes, yeah. Like my family was not racist. It's just didn't do a good job of explaining certain things.
Yeah.
And so you will have a rude awakening if you haven't taught your children certain things. So, you know, that boy's parents probably haven't said, like, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. Or, you know, don't comment on the way people look, you know, if something seems different to you, you know, because you can hurt somebody's feelings. So you just never know what kids are going to say. But I think exactly what you said to her is perfect, you know, because it's good for other kids to check other kids, mm-hmm. right? Otherwise, how are they going to learn?
She's just such an emotional child. So I think that's the part that I struggle with, like that her feelings are hurt, you know, as a mom. I'm like, it makes me angry.
Right.
But it doesn't bother what the kids do doesn't bother me. It just bothers me that it bothers her.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, listen, everybody's different. I knew that, like, as a kid growing up, I would sit with this. I was always sitting with random people, but I would sit with this little girl. I remember she had, like, I think they're called lobster hands. Where you,
what?
Your hands, her hands were, like, fused like this. And so were her feet. Yeah.
I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm thinking, like, on Seinfeld, where the man hands, where she was breaking the lobster. And he's like, that's it. I can't take it anymore. Have you seen the man hands on her?
I have exactly.
Okay, so not that, but when they're fused.
No, they
okay.
were like her fingers were fused together, like lobsters.
That's actually a sign of royalty. Webbed.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, webbed hands, webbed toes was a sign of royalty. But anyway, carry
that's
on.
Weird.
I know.
Yeah, no, I would just sit with like random people who were always left out. So for me, I just don't give a shit. Yeah. I don't give a shit. I just don't want her. And that's what I told her. I just need you to understand this doesn't hurt mommy's feelings.
Right.
People could stare all day long. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Especially
your mom
look different.
Is gorgeous. And so obviously people are going to stare at me, sweetheart. You're going to need to get used to that.
Just no hair, guys. There's just no hair. That's all that it is.
Mm-mm-mm.
I had a woman yesterday when I was doing an event in Twin Falls. And she came up to me. She was like, I just want to say, like, you have the perfect head. You're so beautiful. She's like, I'm actually losing hair. Like, I have patches. I had, like, she goes into this whole story of her life, how her mom was so evil to her and so mean to her. And, like, growing up, she had really thin hair, and her mom would say she was so ugly because she had no hair. I know. I'm like, that makes me so sick to my stomach. I just can't even imagine. She's like, well, I don't talk to her anymore. I'm in my 60s, and I had to detox basically from my mom because she's so toxic. And she's like, I just have these patches and I'm trying to hold on for dear life. And I'm using this like red light thing. And so I was like, we've had this conversation, I think, where you're in the moment, you're in the place where you're supposed to be at that moment.
Right.
And I was like, I can speak to that. That is the worst part. Losing your hair and seeing all the hair fall out and looking at what you look like with patches of hair and chunks missing. So it's like, I can speak on that level. Like it gets better in my opinion when it's all gone. You don't have to see all of that anymore. It's just, you are in the roughest part.
Right.
And she's like, I just hope I get brave enough where I can, like, you know, rock it with no hair. And I'm like, well, there's wigs and hats and scarves and all kinds of things that you can do. This is just the way that I choose to wear it. But I know that everybody doesn't feel the same way. People want to wear hair. They want to be able to change it up. It's not about not being bald. It's about they like changing their hairstyles.
Right.
I don't like that. So, you know, there's options. But there, you know, there's a lot of people that are going through that you maybe don't know about.
Well, and you impact more people than you realize. So, and in a very good way. You know, you give people that feeling like they could do it too. And look at how damn good you look. Right? Like, shit.
Everybody always comments on the shape of my head, which I have nothing to do with that.
There's a lot of bald men that are walking around that you're like, ooh, that's a weird shaped head. Yeah. Right? I mean, definitely, if your mom laid you on your back too long when you were younger,
I know,
and you got a
seriously.
Flat head on the back. I mean, there's so many things.
So many.
I have huge lumps all over my head. Like, I can feel it. And I get migraines all the time. And so, you know, I'll try to, like, massage my scalp. And I can feel, I have huge divots. Like, if I didn't have hair, oh, my God.
Really?
Like, huge divots on the top of my head. Like, I don't know if somebody beat me. Like over the head.
You're like, Mom, how many times did you draw me?
So many times. But it doesn't look like yours because I can feel that it doesn't look like yours. So yeah, there's that.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I mean, we got way off topic, but anyways.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about back to school. Yeah. So the whole mask thing too. I think we want to talk about that with no school.
So yeah, that's a big deal. So we parents fought so hard in West Ada to make masks optional. And wherever you stand on this, our biggest deal is that parents should have the choice for the health management of their children. It's not the school board's decision. It's our decision. And if you want to wear a mask, sweetheart, wear one.
Rock it.
If you want your children, if you feel like that makes your children safe for them to wear one, go ahead and put a mask on them. That's why we wanted it optional. Mm-hmm. Everybody should be able to make decisions for their children. That is the God-given right that you are in charge of your children's health, and we're the ones protecting them. We're not asking the government, we're not asking the state, we're not asking the school board, anybody to have a say in our children's health. We can take care of that. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. So this has been, gosh, all year last year, and then through the summer, you know, these meetings and stuff. And so yesterday was a big deal.
Yes.
So, you know, we filled out our mask optional in opting out of our children wearing masks. And the line was huge. Not when I got there, because we expected that there was going to be, you know, 3,000-4,000 people in line, which there ended up being. Mm-hmm. So we got there early, and thankfully they opened the doors early. So we were only in line for like 5 minutes, but it was easy. I'm so glad that we did it. And Gianna now gets to be in person, and that's huge.
Yeah. It was interesting to see too, like the kids were all unmasked outside playing on the playgrounds. It was so awesome to see. And then when you go in the classrooms, I feel like majority were unmasked, but and again, it's the first and second day. So I saw two boys on the playground, which they don't need to wear their masks outside anyways.
No.
But I think they're just doing it because it's a habit, unfortunately. Yeah. But they, you know, they're walking around and they are watching all the other kids, and they just pull their mask down like,
this is okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Oh, I can breathe freely. Thank you.
Yeah.
That feels good. It feels really good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's God. Just, it was so, I mean, like, I felt super emotional on a different level just because she was in virtual schoolhouse because I don't agree with the mask last year. Not because I was scared, because my husband and I both had COVID. Neither one of us quarantined. Neither one of them got it. So, but she.
Well, you guys stayed home, but you didn't quarantine from your children.
Right.
Right.
Or each other. And we had it in two separate occasions, like within 3 or 4 months of each other. So, but just to see her excitement, like going back with all the kids and having her desk and her lunch pail and like the simplest things like that.
The normalcy.
Pencils, colored pens.
Yeah.
And just having a teacher, like that teacher there and her space, you know? It's crazy. Yeah.
Definitely watching so many parents and kids talked at the board meeting. And there was that one kid, I think from Centennial, mm-hmm. that spoke. And he was saying how, like, the reason he had to do Schoolhouse is because he had an instance with one of his teachers that shamed him in front of everybody for not wearing disgusting. His mask, right? And talked about in front of everybody how she should hang him up in the corner of the classroom with, like, a shower curtain or something, like, shame him, something crazy.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it impacted him big time. And so he did Schoolhouse, Virtual Schoolhouse. And he said, you know, he's always been a very bright kid, you know, always had really good grades. And just sitting in front of a computer screen for however many hours and having hardly any interaction with teachers, no follow-up, anything like that, he was really, really, really struggling with school, and his grades went down. And then, you know, how he was feeling, like, depressed. It's just, it's a big snowball effect. And God, I felt for him, and I felt like he was explaining something that was happening to so many kids. Cause I just know that for both of my children, the days that they had to be home and do virtual schoolhouse or not virtual schoolhouse, but they did the at home online thing. They found it very difficult. It was hard, and they were not engaged. They didn't care. They didn't feel like they were learning anything. Shelby would email her teachers constantly, like one of them, like over 20 times, and he wouldn't respond. And she is very self-driven, has to have an A in every class. Yeah. And, you know, she was having to teach herself math and all of that other stuff. And that was very frustrating.
Yeah.
It's not okay. And it was a shitty setup, really. So I definitely have very good or high hopes that this year is going to be a year that feels more normal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we talked about how because of the quarantine rules that they have in place, that the student athletes that are opting out of wearing masks, and like we filled out for Brody, it's football season right now, that like last year he had to be quarantined like four times because they said that he was exposed in one of his classrooms, like somebody, right? They don't say like which classroom or if it was a hallway or whatever. They just say your child was exposed. You have to self-quarantine for 10 days or whatever. Well, not once did he ever have a symptom. Not once did he ever get COVID. And so he would have to do the at-home learning for all that time. And he was suffering consequences of something that he didn't even have. And it was bullshit. Well, now the quarantine rules that they have in place is if you are masked in the room and a person tests positive in that classroom, if you are masked in that room, you can still come back to the school and stay in that same classroom as long as you're still wearing a mask. Or if you were vaccinated and you were exposed, you can still come back in the classroom. You just have to wear a mask. So if my child who does not have COVID was exposed, not wearing a mask, has to go home and self-quarantine, has to miss out on his high school sports, his senior year, possibly missing up to two games, which is a huge deal. I'm sorry, but I feel like the student athletes that would prefer not to wear a mask, whether you have an exemption or not, are the ones that are going to suffer mm-hmm. the consequences of this rule that's put in place, which is total bullshit. If you don't have any symptoms, I'm sorry, you shouldn't have to quarantine. It's
well,
stupid.
And look, the science is always changing, right? But viruses mutate, and and they still haven't isolated this coronavirus.
The initial
strain of it.
And the testing that they're saying, like, oh, well, if you get a test, you can come back, like, you know, 5 days early, or on the fifth day, if you get a test and it's negative, then you can come back. Well, I'm sorry, but we're not taking those tests that are owned by Soros and Bill Gates and have proven that they cannot single out the COVID variant or COVID-19 or the freaking flu.
Yeah.
So,
or the common cold.
Exactly. Like, that's apparently has gone away. Like, nobody's died from the flu like they do every single year, right? I mean, it was Patrick King in Canada that just won that massive lawsuit. And so they proved that they have not been able to single out if it's COVID-19 or the common cold with these freaking tests. Mm-hmm. They can't do that. So how are we even having these conversations anymore?
Because science, Katie.
I just can't.
And then asymptomatic can spread it. Then they can't. I'm like, oh, so we're only using these rules when they make sense for us to use them, and there's a gain for it.
Right. And if you're vaccinated, you are absolutely shedding the virus. And if I don't have the virus and I'm walking around without COVID, why are people more scared of me than they are of somebody who's had the vaccine and is actively shedding the virus that they've, you know?
Because the CDC said something about, I don't remember the percentage, it was like 251 times the viral load when you're vaccinated. So you have that much higher viral load in your body versus an unvaccinated person.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the unvaccinated people who don't have the virus that are spreading the virus that they don't have.
Right.
Because science.
Well, I told you I do the interior design deal, and so I'm going into people's homes.
She acts like it's not a big deal. She's kind of a big deal, guys.
They're not a big deal.
Yeah, she is.
So this was a while ago, but I remember I was telling you guys because I was like, wait a second. This is not good. So I was going to a house in Boise, and I, you know, could kind of gauge from my initial visit with them, like my design consult, that, you know, they were liberal, and that, which is, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. We can coexist.
Yes, we can coexist. I'm not judging you. I can hang out with you. We're cool. Liberals are fine. But I also know, based on experience, where you probably stand on, you know, being vaccinated or wearing masks and stuff like that. So I had to wear a mask in their house, whatever. I'm not doing that anymore. But initially, you know, I was pleasing people and doing that. And so I was supposed to come in and help set up for things a couple weeks later. And she had mentioned that she had shingles. And so I remember I messaged you and Janelle and Kim's a nurse, and I'm like, so she's saying she's got shingles. I had chicken pox when I was younger, and that's definitely contagious, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I didn't know that it was a response to being vaccinated. A lot of people are getting the shingles.
From the COVID vaccine?
Yes.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes.
That's not surprising, though.
Yes. And so Kim had mentioned that. She's like, oh, well, she was probably just vaccinated. You should ask if she was just vaccinated, because not only that, you know, if she's, you know, with shingles, and then that's highly contagious. First of all, you have to ask if she still has blisters, because that's like super contagious. But then she's also still in that cycle of shedding the virus. I forget how many days you shed.
I think they haven't figured
like
that out
30
yet.
30 something?
Yeah. I don't think they've figured out the exact date, like days. I think it's around 30 to 40.
Yeah, I thought it was around 30. And so I had to very carefully navigate, like, so,
as you're backing out of the house.
So, no, this was over the phone, because she had like texted, you know, that she had had that. So she had to reschedule something. And then I was like, I don't know if like a couple days later that I'm going to want to go there. So I had to navigate very gently how I was going to say that I wasn't comfortable coming over, you know.
Maybe you're just scheduled out like for weeks.
Something like that. And so, which I did the following month is when I came. But I did say like, oh, did you just have the vaccine? I hear that people are, you know, getting shingles as a response to the vaccine. She's like, yes, I actually did. And I'm like, oh, okay. So this feels very uncomfortable, me asking, and you know, I feel bad asking anything, you know, in regarding with your health, but I did have chickenpox when I was younger, and I know it's contagious, and I did talk to my friend who's a nurse. do you happen to have any, if you're still in the blister stage, maybe we can reschedule for the following month. She's like, oh, that's actually a good point. I do. It's all across my abdomen and my back, and I definitely saw blisters.
Pleasurable.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, so let's look at, I actually did 6 weeks out because I was like, I just need a little bit more time.
Give myself a little cushion there.
I know. And she's like super sweet. Yeah. You know, she
There's
saves
nothing wrong
animals.
With that. You're just being respectful.
Yes.
Of both of you guys.
Yes, very much so. But it's so awkward. What was it? Like a month ago when I told you guys, I was showing you guys screenshots of the client that was like, so I just wanted for our consult. I just would ask that you wear a mask. And, oh, are you comfortable wearing a mask?
No.
I'm actually going to read it because it was so awkward. And then I'm texting you guys and I'm like, I don't think she understands that I'm trying to say no without saying no. Let's see. Where is this?
So yes and no.
Right? Like, oh, it's such a, but when you're running your business and you are to a place where like you don't have to take everyone that reaches out, I don't ever want to be disrespectful.
And you weren't. I don't think you were.
Yeah. I definitely.
Like you just showed up to her door and was like, I'm not wearing a mask. I'm coming in without that.
Well, she did ask me if I felt comfortable. And so it was my way of saying no. Okay, here it is. Hi, Katie. This is blank. Hope you're doing well. I am just confirming our appointment for tomorrow. And I put, yes, I'll see you then. And she put, excited to meet with you. Due to the increase in COVID, can I ask that you wear a mask during our consultation? And then puts her name. I put, if you would feel more comfortable doing a FaceTime consult, we can do that. Or we can wait until you feel more comfortable doing an in-person consult, whichever you prefer. Smiley face. She put, I'm fine with in person.
And no mask.
Then she put, let's keep our appointment for today. I put, will you be comfortable if I'm not wearing one? She put, hi, I would be more comfortable with you wearing one since we have a 6 month old in our home, which they're, I guess they're grandparents. And I put, let's do a FaceTime consult, smiley face.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying not to say no without, you know.
You're going to find a middle ground. That's
I'm
all you're
trying,
doing.
I know. And she put, would it be more helpful if I took photos of my home and text or email them to you? And then she called me after that. And it was very, I just had to say, it is uncomfortable for me to wear a mask, and I do have certain feelings about it, and so I would rather not wear one.
Yeah.
And then she was explaining, you know, health conditions that they have, and I said, I completely...
So you never leave your house?
Right.
And it's just like this false sense of protection.
Right.
If they just do research on how these masks do not work, there are so many
studies. Oh, my God,
there's
so many. There's so many. And then she had said that they had been vaccinated, and I said, well, I've already had it. And so, I don't feel comfortable wearing one, and I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable with my health decision to not wear one. And so I just feel like we can definitely do, you know, the design consult FaceTime and photos, and I can give you my input, you know, and then we can go from there. And so we did end up doing a FaceTime consult, but it was the first time that I had said no to a client and about wearing one. And before I just appeased it and I didn't, you know, I just never wanted anybody to feel uncomfortable. I just got through the consult. And, you know, I would go from there. But something in me felt like I don't have to. I don't have to put one on. If I'm not comfortable, why am I appeasing other people? Like, mm-hmm. other people can appease me.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of became this, like, if I'm really against it, why am I allowing it? Mm-hmm. And so it ended up being okay. Right. And it was kind of empowering that I was able to stand up for myself and what I felt would be right for me. And so I think the other side is so used to people appeasing them, like, oh, will you wear a mask? It makes me feel more comfortable. It's like, well, it doesn't make me feel more comfortable. Or if you're vaccinated, it actually makes me feel very uncomfortable and it makes me feel unsafe.
Yeah.
And, you know, or around my daughter or my son who, you know, by shedding what you're shedding can affect them being able to reproduce when they're older. Like, that's the stuff that scares me. Mm-hmm. And I should be able to have those same concerns on the flip side. But you're looked at like you're, oh my gosh, this selfish, selfish person, or that you're uneducated or you have not done your research. We've done so much research. Oh my gosh. How many articles have we sent back and forth to each other? How many? Like hundreds and hundreds of different stories, articles, personal experiences, and, you know, people's stories that they've shared. And had researchers that were actually a part of making these vaccines that are being silenced, and they're trying to get the word out and they can't. Doctors are not allowed to report on adverse, you know, adverse reactions when their clients have or their patients have, you know, all these issues. They can't do it. Their licenses are truly at stake.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Why? What is going on when you cannot report that your patient is having serious issues after just being vaccinated? Why? That doesn't sound okay. If you're having to be coerced, if you're having to be shamed to take something, if you are like being bribed with a freaking lottery, are you?
Well, do you know that
God,
Krispy Kreme's giving away 2 donuts now?
Ooh, that's big. Well, gosh, so, that changes my whole stance.
I mean,
I'm getting one because those donuts are going to make me healthy too. Like,
cardiovascular issues or anything. So let's just enhance the issues of the cardiovascular area, and we'll just amplify everything. I just, again, you ask questions. It doesn't make any sense. So,
no, but they say trust the science. Have you read up on the science? Yes. And do you actually know that the articles and the information that you are reading is bought and paid for by Big Pharma? You realize that numbers are being completely blown out of proportion. All the propaganda, it's all bullshit. When they talk about like a hospital being completely overrun and there's no beds, or during the board meeting the other day, and they're talking about how, you know, St. Luke's is just, oh man, they're having a rough time and they don't have enough room, blah, 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 blah. Go drive over there right now. You go see how many parking spots there are. You go walk in there. There's not going to be a bunch of people sitting in the waiting room, and you're going to go, well, that's weird, because they're saying that all over the news. Leaving. Oh, yeah. And then if it's so overrun then why are you so okay with letting go of the majority of your staff that does not want to get vaccinated?
Yeah.
If we were truly in trouble and we needed to help so much of our public that's just flooding the doors, you would not be allowing your nurses and your doctors to leave.
Yeah. Well, and I just read something about 20 practitioners walking off the St. Al's campus.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's happening every day.
Yeah, but they think there's an issue now. There's going to be a huge issue when we hit, air quotes, flu season.
Oh, yeah.
It's lack of vitamin D season.
Yes. Take your vitamin D, people. Yeah. Really.
Get out in the sun. Just do it with sunscreen. But, yeah, when you don't have the doctors and the staff to deal with these people who already have several comorbidities, don't mm-hmm. take care of themselves, so they end up in the hospital.
Yeah. Or it's just like, hey, I cut a finger off and yeah. I have to go to the ER.
That's the problem, and that's what I feel bad for, is like the people who genuinely have real accidents and yeah. real things that happen that they can't avoid, you know?
Yeah, you've got the leftover staff that's not willing to think for themselves, and...
And people straight out of school who don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
And they don't have people there to help, you know, watch over them because they're so short-staffed.
Yeah. But it should be alarming when you have incredibly intelligent doctors
yeah.
and nurses that went through the whole, you know, pandemic thing. And you know, COVID is real. We're not saying COVID is not real. We've had COVID. We've seen COVID. It is a real yeah. deal. But when you see all these incredibly smart people who have had their jobs for like, oh my God, 20 plus years, and they would rather give up their career and walk away than take the vaccine,
mm-hmm.
guys, that should make you stop and think.
Yeah.
It really should. Anyway, it's a whole thing. It's
yeah,
a whole
I told
thing.
Alan, I'm like, I'm done. I'm done arguing with people. I'm just going to look at them and say, okay.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. 2 + 2 = 5. Okay. Yeah.
You do.
You're right. You're right.
You're right.
You're right. I just think, and look, flip side, okay? If you feel like you've done your due diligence in researching and you feel confident enough to take it, then by all means, you are doing what is right for you.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about how we don't feel safe, you know, when somebody has, just with all the shedding and all the other things. And it's people that you love so dearly and that they've taken it, you're scared for the side effects for them, mm-hmm. right? It's not like, oh, well, you took it, so, you know, you should suffer the consequences. I know that some people on the other side think about that for the unvaccinated, like, oh, well, you should have taken it. You should have had your vaccine, and I don't feel bad for you if you get sick and die. Like, there are people that's their mindset. Mm-hmm. That's certainly not mine. If they've taken the vaccine and they've had, you know, an injury from it and they're having major issues, I am wholeheartedly so sad for them.
Yeah.
So sad for them. And I don't think anybody should ever wish, you know,
yeah.
ill will on anybody. I just hope that everybody makes the right decision for themselves. And that's really all you can do. Make sure that you're educated. Make sure that you are not making a decision based on what the people around you are saying. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't matter where you live. You're going to be around people that have, you know, if you're in LA, that's going to be one, you know, perspective.
Shit show.
Uh-huh. And here we have a lot of people that have our perspective.
Yeah.
But you and I both did not come from a place originally that had the same perspective that we are surrounded by now. So it is more refreshing.
Yeah.
But wherever you are, whoever you're surrounded by, whatever opinion you're surrounded by, make sure that your decision is based on your opinion, mm-hmm. based on your research. Do not base it off of what you're watching on TV. Do not base it on what other people are telling you. Read, read, read. And if things don't add up, you need to question it and dig further until you are comfortable with what it is that you're seeing making you have the decision that you come to. That's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing more to discuss outside of that with somebody. Like, okay, you did your research. You feel comfortable. Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
And I mean, Ellen always tells me I always play devil's advocate because I do. I just want to be knowledgeable on both sides. So I always am reading the left, the left-sided media just to get a different perspective.
Oh, for sure. You have to.
Yeah. And try to understand kind of where they're coming from. But I don't know. I mean, because there are extremes on both sides and I don't agree with that. Right. But I was with my trainer this whole last week and we don't agree politically on things, but mm-hmm. we had just so much fun and I just love her as a person. And it was just nice and refreshing to just, we were talking about like how social media and the media just makes it so nasty.
Oh yeah.
And
well, they want us to be separated.
Right.
Because you are not as strong when you're separated. They did that with race. They're doing it with, politics. They're doing it with the vaccine. And it's sad. It really is
sad.
Well,
when you think about it, it's like these are all learned behaviors, right? So kids, as a child, you don't naturally hate people.
No.
You don't naturally want to be friends with only white people.
No, but you do recognize an asshole.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know that.
Black, white, or purple.
Doesn't matter. On this purple story, and then I think we probably need to wrap it up. But my nephew, when I was young, he's not my biological nephew. He's like one of my good girlfriends. So I helped kind of raise him a little bit. When he was young, I want to say he was like 5, maybe. We were at a playground, and he's like, Auntie, I'm playing with that boy over there. I go, oh, there's a whole bunch of kids. Which one are you playing with? The purple one. Because the kid was so dark. He was like a purple hue.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I totally lost my train of thought. But yeah, I was like, purple kid. And I look over, I was like, oh my God.
Again, through the mouths of babes.
Yeah. And in the black community, there's like yellow when you're a lighter shade.
They
of,
say yellow?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's like a yellow hue. So when you're a lighter black person,
what?
You've got like a yellow hue. Yeah. So you're yellow. That's what. Like, Alan's not.
Wait,
Alan's
I'm more, yellow?
No.
Oh.
That's what they would call them.
I mean, I think yellow and you've got jaundice. Like,
so that's like it's like a purple thing. Like, Nigerian people are so dark. There's almost like a purply hue.
Oh.
But it's interesting. It was really interesting to see his perspective. Like, Auntie, I'm playing with the purple kid. I was like, oh my gosh. I see how he sees that. But I was like, oh, he's not purple. He's black kid.
Yeah.
You're a white kid. Go have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So anyway,
so there are purple people.
Yeah.
That's safe. You know, my younger self would have been really excited to see that because
yes.
I was walking around trying to, I was thinking more violet, but.
Oh
know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. So we started off back to school and we kind of went on a tangent, but
let's
wrap it up with we'll be seeing Brody play football tonight.
I know. I'm so excited. I'm so glad you guys are coming and supporting him. That's such a big deal.
Yeah. Cool Baby's really excited too.
Cool Baby is just.
We'll have to get a picture with them too. He's going to be like,
oh my God.
Superstar.
I love it. I know. Just so you know, he doesn't smell very good after.
That's okay.
Oh my God. The kid in his BO is just. You don't get used to it. You do not get used to it.
He just worked hard, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
we got to figure something out. I think we need a different like pit stick or something. Or maybe don't let him have garlic for like a week before he works out. I don't know. There's something with like teenage boy sweat that is just like, it's just the worst.
Yeah.
It's just the worst. There's so much mixed in there.
Yeah. Like open up a window, turn a fan on.
When you smell that whole like football team walking by, you're like, ugh.
Well, I still don't have my entire smell, so I might not even smell anything.
It's true. See, it's actually a blessing that was taken away. Or your husband farts and you don't have to smell that anymore.
Still don't. Yep. Still don't.
Okay.
All right, guys, we will be back with a more uplifting, fun episode next time.
Yeah.
Vacations, camping, something like that.
Something like
all
that.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye, guys.
That's it. All right, time's up, people. Hope you enjoyed yourselves as much as we did.
Yeah, come find us on social media, on Instagram, Say What Podcast 2021. Give us a follow. If you have questions or topics you want us to cover, you can slide that right into our DM.
Slide it in like butter, baby.
And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review.
Cheers.